Alan, can you review specifically the entry criteria for the trial and the recent updated data that you presented on the thoracic hemorrhage in terms of the characteristics of those patients?
The entry criteria were for non-squamous cell patients, no brain mets, and they were screened either with CTs or MRIs before going on. No history of hemoptysis greater than a half teaspoon. No active anticoagulation. And then they also, it was amended in the middle, no acute thrombotic event within, I think, 6 months of treatment. So those were the principal entry criteria. And then what we did, you heard the incidence of grade 3+ pulmonary hemorrhage was roughly about 2%. I think it was 2.1%, grade 3+. There were 5 patients who died from pulmonary hemorrhage out of 420 patients on the bevacizumab arm. So that 1% is actually lower than what was seen on the phase 2 study in the non-squames, where it was 2 out of 53 patients. Also of note, of the 5 patients who died from pulmonary hemorrhage on the study, one patient actually had hemoptysis going into the study. Retrospect shouldn't have been put on study. A second one had scant hemoptysis after the first cycle and then developed massive hemoptysis on the second cycle when they continued treating them. So really only 3 patients died out of 420 patients if you utilized the strict ECOG criteria. So real, but actually if you looked at the old literature, you would have thought, hey, that's better than what we'd anticipate. But it was still greater than that seen on the chemo alone arm. So we attempted to see if there was a way to even better define the group of patients. As you know, as I mentioned in the ECOG study, we had no restrictions based on size or location of the tumor. Every subsequent study that's been done now with an anti-angiogenic agent has included some form of that, principally because people are assuming that it logically would make sense, but it's never been shown. So we went back and looked at lumping the patient data sets for the phase 2 study and the ECOG study to see whether we could find any baseline prognostic factors that would help us and if there were any radiologic factors during treatment that would help. Not surprisingly, with a small number of patients that had grade 3+ bleeds, nothing was statistically significant. There were trends that emerged that thought of interest. A baseline cavitation might be of increased risk. Baseline hemoptysis, again, re-entered the picture. But size, and we looked at 3 centimeters or greater, did not. Cavitation after treatment did not seem to. Again, small numbers. I really think our study doesn't really help all that much.
It's like 22 patients, right?
Correct.
So you're trying to find trends within 22.
So I think in histology, we even looked at the NOS. Some people have suggested that maybe NOS is...
Were these people responding?
Some were responding. In fact, I think the majority were, but you couldn't evaluate all of them. Not all of them were evaluated after treatment.
It's been said that, or thought that perhaps this is some manifestation right. of response. Do you believe that?
My bias is that, particularly for the squames and whatnot, that it may well be a manifestation of a brisk response to treatment and that cavitation ultimately results, you know, abnormal vasculature, the fragile vessels within the tumor, and they bleed. And I'm not so sure that location, we looked at location next to blood vessels, we looked at location next to bronchi, none of those came out, which may or may not be that it's a fact, it's maybe we just didn't have enough patients. So my view is I'm not utilizing size or location in evaluating patients for this treatment.